And welcome back to the Neutral Zone. As always, I'm John Hanna.
And I'm Tyler Gallo. And thanks, John, for taking a break out of your very busy schedule to join us on the Neutral Zone today.
Well, you know what it is. News never stops. I'm producing the RMU live show, so...
Yeah, and John played a prank on me last night.
I did.
And he said that, oh, Gage wasn't allowing him to do this podcast today, and then he sent me a picture saying Gage allowed him. I knew Gage wasn't that mean.
Today is Monday, January 28th, 2019.
And yeah, we're a little bit late today, but the radio room was used for something for a little bit, and then we got on, and then John's computer froze, so we couldn't have the intro, and then we finally got in.
Yeah, so let's get started. A couple signings to announce for baseball.
All right, well... Atlanta made a good decision in re-signing Nick Markakis to a one-year, $6 million deal. I mean, yes, he is getting up there in age. He is right now 35 years old and will turn 36 during the season. But last year, he had a great year for the Braves. He was an all-star for the first time in his career. He hit .297 with 14 home runs and 93 RBIs. And that's the most RBIs he's had in his career since 2009 with Baltimore, when he had 101. So, good season for Markakis. Good little signing for the Braves, re-signing. And, I mean, he's got to be one of the most underrated players in MLB history. I mean, he's played more than 2,000 games now, and is a career batting average of .288. And he's got 2,237 hits in his career, and 185 last year. So, good little re-signing for the Braves. San Francisco signed a guy who had a nightmarish season for the World Series champion last year to a one-year, $1.5 million contract. That is Drew Pomeranz, who pitched to a 6.08 ERA last year, was 2-6, and was an all-star in 2016 not too long ago with the Padres and the Red Sox, and had a good year last year, or 2 years ago, 3.32 ERA for the Red Sox, but just a nightmarish season for Drew Pomeranz, the guy they call Big Smooth. The biggest signing of this week, well, remember last week, John, we didn't really have anything to talk about. There's nothing that happened. But this week, an influx of signings and trades and other news.
I mean, most of them minor, but this one's a bit bigger.
Yeah. The Dodgers fixed their outfield situation. Remember, they traded Yasiel Puig not too long ago. They signed A.J. Pollock, who the Mets were rumored to go after, to a five-year, $60 million deal. That's the biggest signing we've had in quite some time. Pollock's long been injury-prone. I mean, he last season only appeared in 113 games. 2017, 112. 2016, 12 games. So he's very injury-prone, and I don't know about this signing, but he did have a okay year. I mean, he was an all-star in 2015, hit .315 for the Diamondbacks. .257 last year. The Arizona really disappointed last season, but Pollock moving his location, and he will be in Los Angeles now. So,
and if Arizona disappointed last season, imagine how bad they're going to be this year.
Goldschmidt. Yeah, no Goldschmidt. They lost Pollock, obviously, who is a big provider for their offense, and they're replacing them with guys that aren't too great. I mean, they signed Wilmer Flores, and I will always have a special place in my heart for Wilmer Flores, being a Mets fan, but not really going to get the job done, but he will get a starting job there. All right, and then a guy who's been in a lot of controversy recently, Hunter Strickland, signed a one-year, $1.3 million deal with the Seattle Mariners last season, pitched with a .397 ERA, got 14 saves. He was a reliever. And probably the biggest part of last year was when he drilled Bryce Harper. I don't know if that was last year or the year before.
I think it was last year.
Early last year, yeah. But you can obviously remember that ordeal. 2014 postseason, probably one of the worst playoffs you can have as a reliever. That entire series he pitched to, well, let's see. In the NLDS, pitched to a 9 ERA in 3 games. Gave up 3 home runs. In the NLCS, only pitched in one game, gave up a home run in that one too, 6.75 ERA. In the World Series, gave up 2 more home runs, 6.75 ERA. That is the most home runs given up in a playoffs by one pitcher, 6. And I guess he's projected to pitch to a 3.67 ERA by Fangraphs for the Seattle Mariners. And closed a bunch of games last year for the Giants. He's still got a live arm, can throw upwards of 99 miles an hour. All right, signing for Seattle, but they're still going nowhere fast. Seattle basically cleared their house this season. So don't see a lot of improvement there. The Cubs made a pretty solid and under-the-radar signing Brad Brock, who played for the Braves and the Orioles last year. Brad Brock was pitched to a 3.59 ERA, but he has been an all-star in his career back in 2016 and has had some pretty solid seasons leading up to that. He's played with San Diego, Baltimore, and Atlanta up to this point. So a good, and when he went to Atlanta, he had a 1.52 ERA in 27 games. So a good little nugget of a season for Brad Brock. And now, I'm not surprised about this. Cleveland re-signed Oliver Perez. Oliver Perez was surprisingly one of the best relievers in the league last year. Perez, formerly of the Mets, who all Mets fans hate him, and I understand why. He was absolutely abysmal in his tenure with the Mets. Yeah, his career with the Mets, he had a 4.71 ERA and a pretty nightmarish signing by, I don't know who signed him, but it was a terrible deal. But he had a 1.39 ERA in 51 games last year. And I think he led the league in FIP, fielding independent pitching. And there was some other stats where he didn't give up a lot, like home runs per nine. He gave up 0.3. That's a solid season. Mets made a pretty good signing. I like this guy, Justin Wilson, reliever, who's been around the league a little bit. Two-year, $10 million deal. Justin Wilson had a 3.46 ERA. Struggled last season in 2017 with the Cubs, a 5.09 ERA. But rebounded this year with a 3.46. Pitched well in one game in the playoffs. So, yeah, Justin Wilson figures to be a good part of the bullpen. He is a lefty. The Mets did not have a lot of lefties, so it's a good little pickup. And then, what were you going to say?
I was going to say low risk, high reward. I mean, $5 million, it's not much in baseball terms.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lefty. I mean, the Mets had a minor league deal, Luis Avilan. I mean, they only carried one lefty for pretty much the bulk of the season last year, Jerry Blevins, until they brought up Daniel Zamora. Zamora and Avilan figure to be a part of that bullpen, but the bullpen will really be spearheaded by Diaz, Familia, and maybe Justin Wilson. We'll see. And then the last signing, a little bit of a small one, Marco Estrada, former Blue Jay, and Milwaukee Brewer signed with the Oakland A's for a one-year, $4 million deal. He struggled mightily on the mound last season in 28 games. Pitched to a 5.64 ERA. Still at a 0.6 wins above replacement, but I don't really know the subjectiveness of wins above replacement. Not a very good year. Actually, the last two seasons for Estrada following, and all of these guys that have been signed were all-stars in 2016, it feels like.
They were.
A 4.98 ERA in 2017, a 5.64 ERA in 2018, and a 7-14 record on the mound. I know wins aren't indicative of the player, but that's pretty indicative there. So that's all the signings. But two other contract things. Kansas City signs Whit Merrifield to a four-year, $16.25 million contract extension, and I like this deal a lot. Whit Merrifield is already appearing on the franchise leaderboards for the Kansas City Royals, surprisingly, and on his third season. He's got a career 293 batting average. He hit 304 last year, not an all-star. He led the league in hits. In the American League.
Not an all-star?
Not an all-star. I don't know how he was before, but he also led the league in stolen bases with 45. So he's becoming a bit of a five-tool player. He had 12 home runs, 60 RBIs, 19 the year before. So, and he figures to be a part of Kansas City the next time they go to the playoffs. So a very, very good deal, I think, for Whit Merrifield. And then the last little thing, a good story. Ichiro returns to the Mariners on a minor league deal. He is the city that never sleeps in the MLB.
I have a quick, is Ichiro one of the few universally beloved MLB players? I don't know anyone that hates him. He never really had any controversies about him.
Well, I mean, and that's how he pretty much carried himself.
Yeah, because I know Jeter had he wasn't loved by everybody.
Yeah. Well, I personally think Jeter's overrated. I mean, he wasn't a very good defender. He made some good plays, but he was
He made memorable plays.
He was good because of the team around him was good. Put him on San Diego or
they'll be saying Jeter who?
Yeah, if he wins maybe one or zero rings, he's not even talked about for the Hall of Fame.
No.
So, all right, and yeah, Ichiro will be added to the roster for their Japan series. Now, I think this is a bit of an implication. I think he's going to just retire after the Japan series.
Because it's a minor league deal.
It's a minor league deal. It makes a lot of sense to retire in your homeland, and what better way to do it? I mean, it's not really taking – you can say it's taking away from a younger player's time, but it's Ichiro.
Even if he plays one, like the one game where he retires, it's not going to be.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Merrifield, he is only 30 years old. So, I mean, he came up when he was 28 or 27, but he looks really good. Like,
he does. Solid.
But Ichiro, minor league deal. All right. And then we've got the trade, biggest trade recently. Sonny Gray and Raver San Martin head to Cincinnati, and the Yankees get Shed Long, who sounds like a name where you get to like the 2026 MLB season or NHL season in your franchise mode in the video games. So,
but to be honest, so does Raver San Martin.
Yeah, Raver San Martin is a very, very Hispanic-sounding name, I'll tell you that. And then Cincinnati immediately signed Gray to a three-year, $30.5 million extension. Sonny Gray has been maybe it's a change of scenery deal for him. He had an abysmal season for the Yankees last year, but when he came over in 2017, he wasn't that bad.
Oh.
3.72 ERA, spearheaded them to the playoffs. That season did not pitch in the wild card game, but he struggled in that ALDS and ALCS. And a 4.9 ERA in 2018 was left off the postseason roster. And this is a guy who formerly had in his Oakland tenure, he had a 3.42 ERA and was an all-star once in 2015. Definitely a change of scenery guy, I think, for Sonny Gray. Yankees fans hated him last year, I'll tell you that. And struggled on the mound. 11-9, more wins than Jacob DeGrom, who was a Cy Young winner. But
about the Shed Long, it was actually a three-team trade.
Yeah, I did see that Shed Long came over from Seattle, I believe.
Yeah, I don't... No. Seattle got Shed Long in exchange for minor league outfielder Josh Stowers.
Okay, so bit of a lot of moving pieces to this deal. So Sonny Gray will be in Cincinnati for the next few years. And all right, possibly the biggest news recently, the Hall of Fame vote happened in the week that we were gone. Mariano Rivera, of the Yankees, Mike Messina, formerly of Baltimore and the Yankees, Roy Halladay, rest in peace, Toronto and Philly, and Edgar Martinez of the Mariners selected the Baseball Hall of Fame. Mo was the first unanimous selection. Now, that you can't really know if he was the first because Lou Gehrig's votes to the Hall of Fame were never publicized.
Mm-hmm.
So he may not be, but yeah. And speaking of Mariano Rivera, more people have walked on the moon then have scored on Mariano Rivera in the postseason, 12 versus 11. And then I have this. Mariano Rivera only gave up two home runs in his playoffs, and they came in the 1997 ALDS to Sandy Alomar Jr., who was a solid postseason player, by the way. And that 97 ALDS was the worst performance in the postseason by in Mo's career. And then came in the 2000 World Series by Jay Payton, and he did not give one up for the rest of his career. And he appeared in the world in the postseason many more times
yes,
after that.
Yes, many.
So that is just – I mean, I have always liked Mariano Rivera, even though he was on the Yankees' greatest closer of all time, in my opinion.
Now, the question is, who will 42 be retired for?
Yeah, it's just weird, like, retiring 42 for a player that wore it besides Jackie Robinson, but he deserves it. And, yeah, more people have walked on the moon than scored in the postseason. Makes a lot of sense. Solid career. But the Mets always had their way against Mo. I can think of two instances where they walked off of him.
And then Well, Mike Messina and Roy Halladay are going in with blank caps.
Yeah, Mike Messina had two very equally good tenures in Baltimore and the Yankees, so that makes sense. And it was said, Roy Halladay, his wife said, out of respect to both cities, he loved both places, he's going to go in with a blank cap.
Mm-hmm.
And rest in peace to Roy Halladay, one of the greatest pitchers of our generation.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that I grew up watching in Toronto and Philly, I like him, even though he played for the Phillies and dominated the Mets when he was there. Great pitcher. Him and Santana are like neck and neck. I mean, not really neck and neck, but they both were dominant in that tenure. And then Edgar Martinez, I don't really know about this one. I'm not a huge fan of Edgar Martinez. He was a DH. And if he's a DH, he doesn't really play in the field too much. So it doesn't make sense why Carlos Delgado, who had more home runs than him and actually played the field, is not in the Hall of Fame. But Edgar Martinez is. I'm not sure about the stats comparison between the two. I think Delgado has more home runs. But, yeah, Edgar Martinez in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it was a long time coming for Edgar, and he was a long time beloved player for, he had 150 more home runs than Edgar Martinez.
Mm.
So, yeah, and then
the thing I remember about Roy Halladay is that I think it was MLB 2K12 whatever one he was on the cover of, it opened up with his, like, the announcer about the perfect game.
Yeah, oh, he threw a perfect game. Yeah, I forgot to say, he threw a perfect game and he threw a no-hitter in the NLDS. Only one of two people to throw a no-hitter or perfect game in the postseason, joining Don Larson, who threw it in the, I think it was 59 World Series. I can't remember. But, yeah, joins elite company. So, congrats to him. Rest in peace to him as well. All right, here's a bit of a, like, a debate topic. The Trop is going cashless. Tropicana Field is going cashless. And thoughts. So, the article, we're going to speak our thoughts on that. The article says that it's going to make transaction time due to analytics have shown that it's going to make transaction time cut in half. So fans will have the payment forms that will be accepted at Tropicana Field this season include major credit cards, Rays gift cards, mobile payments such as Apple Pay and Samsung Pay, and season ticket holder Ray cards, the team announced in a press release. Now, what do you think about this, John?
Well, see, I worked at a grocery store.
Yeah.
I worked at Wegmans, which is the best grocery store ever. But the thing is about credit cards, if you have ones with the chip doesn't always work. You have to insert it three times, then swipe. Apple Pay doesn't always work with the readers.
Oh, yeah, and the most annoying sound when you have to take out your card, by the way. I think we can agree. I think everyone on Earth hates that sound.
Yes.
And they highlighted that in an SNL episode a couple of months ago, I think. But, yeah, I don't really know about this one. I think it will certainly probably speed up the transaction times a little bit. But there's really no correlation between the two. I think
that Trop's a great place to test it because it's going out in about, 5 years?
Yeah, I need to go there before it closes. Like, I've always liked that stadium for some reason, even though it's ugly and pretty
terrible.
Much a, yeah, stick in the mud, sticking out like a sore thumb out there in Tampa. But I kind of like it. I want to go there eventually, maybe before one time before it closes. But, yeah, I don't know about this one. I think, yeah, once again, it will certainly cut them down a little bit, but there's no way to tell that, even with analytics. I think pulling the cash out takes a little bit longer than the cards. But, I mean, who really uses cash at games anyways that much?
But you know there's going to be some old dude and old lady who forget that it happened and only bring cash to the game.
Yeah, that...
You know that's going to happen.
But, I mean, the thing is, it's the Rays. They don't get a lot of fans anyways, so there's not going to be a lot of opportunity to test it out. But, hey, they did finish third and won 90-plus games last year, so maybe they're on the come-up. I have liked the Rays. Blake Snell is an unbelievable pitcher. So, yeah, this is going to be an interesting thing to see next year. And then, not really long time coming. He retired last year. Adrian Beltre will get his number retired by the Rangers, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. Adrian Beltre, literally one of the best players in his career. Like, he played pretty much mostly every game when he was out there. Was an all-star four times. That 2004 season of his career was unbelievable. He hit 48 home runs. That's the highest he ever had. Beloved player in the MLB. He's sort of the Bartolo of batters. He was one of the funniest guys in the MLB. And in his career with the Rangers, he hit 304 with 199 home runs, 699 RBIs in 8 years.
Wasn't Beltre the dude that moved the on-deck circle?
Yeah, that was it was like an 18-7 blowout against the Marlins, they were losing the Marlins, and he pulled the on-deck circle a little bit. Imagine if he just hit one more solo home run, 200 home runs, 700 RBIs, rounded out his career with the
clean numbers.
With clean numbers, yeah. He finished his career with 477 home runs, 1,707 RBIs, and a .286 batting average. Lock for Hall of Fame?
I'd say so.
Yeah. And he had 3,166 hits.
Maybe not first ballot, but he's not first ballot,
but he has the markers of the hits, the 3,000 hits. Does not have a World Series title, but did appear in the World Series once in 2011 with the Rangers. The year before, he was in Boston in 2010, so he did not go to that World Series. Had 49 doubles that year. That's the highest he ever had. That was insane. So Beltre, I think, will make the Hall of Fame. All right, and that's all we've got for baseball. We will throw it over to John for the NHL.
During the All-Star game, there was a bit of a controversy as Brianna Decker, who is a women's hockey player, I believe she plays for Minnesota Whitecaps. Let me see.
And then who was the one that did the fastest skater?
That was...
Kendall Coyne?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kendall Coyne.
She was fast.
She lit up that track, I'll tell you that.
But she plays for the Calgary Inferno of the Canadiens Women's Hockey League. But a bit of controversy because during the accuracy shooting where you're supposed to shoot out targets that light up, she got the fastest time overall, beating Leon Draisaitl by a couple of seconds, actually, but didn't get the money because the NHL apparently didn't keep track. But she's getting $25 million from CCM for winning it, so...
Yeah, NHL needs to...
Or excuse me, 25,000, not 25 million.
Yeah, that's a lot, I was about to say. But, I mean, she deserved it. She lit up that contest, and I'm not... NHL, that looks really bad on their part.
It does.
And Kendall Coyne in the fastest skater was...
Lights out as well.
Very fast. The Metro, my favorite division in the NHL, won the All-Star game. Crosby named MVP. Sidney Crosby is a three-time Stanley Cup champion with Pittsburgh Penguins. I didn't really get to watch the All-Star game because I was on the bus coming home from my tournament.
I watched some of it. It was what you'd expect. Yeah. I mean, I still think the best All-Star game was the John Scott one in Nashville couple years ago.
That was definitely the best one. I missed the MLB All-Star game where it actually had implications. The winner would have home field advantage in the World Series.
Do they not do that anymore?
They don't do that anymore. They changed it, I think, 2 years ago. And that would have helped. I think it would have helped the Royals win the 2014 World Series. There was this video I watched on it. Adam Wainwright grooved a pitch to Derek Jeter in his last All-Star game. And that had made the AL win, and it had the Royals on home field advantage. It didn't really help them, though. So I don't and the Mets were obviously the better team than the Royals. Had they had home field advantage in that World Series, they might have won in 2015. But, yeah, two games tonight, a lot of Metro Division action. Devils will play Pittsburgh. Devils are 2-0 against Pittsburgh this year. We went to the one game, John and I, and saw Brian Boyle get the hat trick.
And
I do not think Pittsburgh will win tonight.
We were heckled by Penguins fans.
We were heckled by Penguins fans after we just beat them. They were chirping Brian Boyle's name, a guy who fought cancer. That is the lowest of the low.
Mm-hmm. And Winnipeg's playing in Philly also at 7.
Winnipeg wins.
Winnipeg wins. Philly's terrible this year.
About the future.
Quick bet. Who's going to be Philly's next goalie? Who do you think?
Ron Tugnutt.
Okay.
Ron Tugnutt or Sean Burke. He usually does that, even though they've already played for them, I think. I believe it's probably going to be Mike Smith.
I could see that.
His time's up in Calgary.
I could see Mike Smith or where's Elliot now? Is he in Philly?
He was in Philly. I don't know where he is now. But, Devils playing Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's probably going to win tonight. Devils have been struggling. They're still without Taylor Hall, even with Kyle Palmieri coming out of an All-Star game. Miles Wood will be back tonight. But I still think the Devils lose because Hall is not back. All right. John's favorite GM in the league.
Peter Chiarelli has been fired finally.
Yes. It has been a long, long time coming for this. Literally the most delusional GM ever.
Keith Gretzky, who, yes, is related to Wayne. It's his brother. Has been named interim GM. And
he's already better than Peter Chiarelli.
Let's just go over some of his moves, starting with his early tenure in Boston.
One for one.
We're going to go to Boston first. First, the Sagan trade. I mean, Sagan for Louis Erickson, Matt Frazier, Riley Smith, and Joe Morrow.
This is a really bad trade.
None of those. I mean, Joe Morrow is decent. Riley Smith.
Erickson's not too bad either.
No, he's sucked up in Vancouver.
In Vancouver, yeah, okay. Yeah, Sagan trade, Sagan's in Dallas lighting it up. Johnny Boychuk for picks, not a good trade.
Nope.
Drafted Jordan Caron, 25th overall, didn't do anything. Drafted Joel Colborn, 16th overall, was okay. Drafted Zach Hamill, 8th overall, I've never really heard of this guy.
Who's Zach Hamill? Like?
Exactly. So Peter Chiarelli was dumb in Boston, and then he moved to Edmonton, was even more dumb.
Hall, you want to talk about the first one?
The one-for-one deal, Hall for Larson. You know, when I heard this trade, I really thought there was going to be some draft picks or other players involved.
See, nope. When I saw it at first, I thought, is there another Hall on Edmonton or another?
I was like, oh, Adam Hall. Cool. I thought it was a fake SportsCenter account reporting it, but it was Bob McKenzie.
Like,
and I was
like Bob McKenzie.
Like, you could just see my face in my front. I'm like, oh, what? And then I texted my dad immediately, and he's like, no way. And Hall has been very, very good for the Devils since joining them. He won an MVP, remember that. Has been hurt recently, but I miss him. I miss Taylor Hall a lot. He'll be back soon, I hope.
The signing of Milan Lucic, 7 years, $6 million per.
How many goals has he scored? Like five?
Yep.
Yeah, so what a signing. And then Mikko Koskinen, the only goalie to ever wear number 19, signed for 3 years, $4.5 million average.
And see, I'll bring it up after we're done with this, but something scares me about that Koskinen signing.
Why is that?
Well, I'll bring it up after we're done. But Chris Russell signed $4 million. 4 years, $4 million per.
Chris Russell was good when he was in Columbus. He's not good anymore.
We have the whole Strome saga. So Jordan Eberle for Strome. Strome was traded for Ryan Spooner. Now Ryan Spooner's on waivers.
Reinhart trade first and second for Reinhart. First became Matthew Barzell. Just a series of unfortunate events for the Oilers and Peter Chiarelli.
Well,
but what's new?
The Koskinen signing scares me because it was done like two or three days before he was fired. So that implies that, and I think the owner came out saying, we are already planning on firing Chiarelli. So is Chiarelli really to blame for everything, or is it some interference by the higher-ups?
See, that's sort of what I felt like with Sandy Alderson and the Wilpons and with the Mets. Some of the deals made no sense. Like, they tossed so much money at Jay Bruce and Anthony Swarzak last year, and what did they do? Combined for, like, a negative wins above replacement. Jay Bruce hit two home runs for the first half of the season. And, yeah, I mean, Peter Chiarelli is a lot worse than Sandy Alderson was. Sandy Alderson did what he could with the stuff he was given by the Wilpons, who don't want to spend any money. But, yeah, Peter Chiarelli just absolutely dumb. Like, what is he thinking? The Lucic signing has got to be – I mean, Hall is obviously the worst. Hall is the worst of the worst. Then you got the Lucic signing with a close second. Lucic has been absolutely awful. Yeah, he was supposed to be that first-line guy for
nope.
Edmonton. What is he, like fourth line now? And he's stuck with them for the next century, it feels like. So.
And I think the only good thing that he's done, and you can't really thank him for that, is, well, he's drafted McDavid, which, I mean a blind guy.
Okay,
who,
so let me tell you my story about this. I probably have said this before. When I was at that draft, there was people with already 97 McDavid Oilers jerseys before the draft started. And then when they drafted him, they gave him a 97 McDavid Oilers jersey. That was literally the easy. That was like turning an on-off switch. That was the easiest thing you could do. The Oilers are just in a mess right now with Chiarelli's fingerprints all over it. So. And maybe not, but...
Yeah, and the only other thing is he drafted Pastrnak in Boston, so good for him.
Yeah, Pastrnak's pretty good. Star.
And Pierre LeBrun said that Kelly McCrimmon, who's currently the Vegas assistant GM, is among the top candidates for the Oilers GM job after Keith Gretzky eventually trades Ryan Nugent-Hopkins for Johan Larsson straight up.
Did you know it's actually LeBrun James?
I don't like you anymore. And then a couple NHL rumors. Darren Dreger says that Buffalo and Jeff Skinner are moving forward with extension talks.
Devin Skinner.
And to quote him here, Skinner believes he's a part of what's coming in Buffalo and he wants to be a part of it.
Yeah, nothing's coming in Buffalo, so I don't know what he's doing. This has got to be this stupid... No, okay. Skinner has been unreal in his tenure.
Isn't he still second in the league in
goals? Probably. I mean, he's been really good. And... All Carolina got in return was some poo. So they got Cliff Poo in return for, I think that was the only guy they got in return for Jeff Skinner in the offseason. That was like over the summer, big trade. And then we got Bob McKenzie says that Nashville will be a team to watch coming to the trade deadline. Nashville's always a team to watch ever. Always. Look out for them to make some deals, change some places of some players. At the trade deadline, I expect them to make a few deals to really rise up in the standings if they aren't already. And then Dan Kingerski of Pittsburgh Hockey Now says Derek Brassard's a wanted player by many teams, and Derek Brassard's really not got a place in Pittsburgh.
No.
So look out for Derek Brassard being made available over near the trade deadline.
Pierre LeBrun has also said that the Pens are interested in Michael Ferland. The one thing I hate about Michael Ferland is how he spells his first name.
Yeah, that's – I hate when people spell their name like that because I've seen a few in the NHL like that. Michael Ferland, Michael Haley, those two guys spell it weirdly. Michael Ferland's good. No doubt about that. He's played really well in Calgary.
Yeah. And Pierre LeBrun, yet again, said no numbers have been exchanged between Ottawa and Matt Duchene, but he believes talks may come later in the week.
95, number 95, Matt Duchene. I like that number for some reason. But Pierre LeBrun is like the, I guess, the Ken Rosenthal or J.P. Morosi of the NHL.
Yeah.
Ken Rosenthal and J.P. Morosi. Oh, and John Heyman are always reporting about the stuff happening in MLB. I always pay attention to Ken Rosenthal because he knows everything that happens right away.
It's like he is MLB.
Yeah. And he's always on every broadcast. Like, I'm a huge fan of Ken Rosenthal. All right. Nick Kelly of the Tampa Bay Times says no talks between Lightning and Braden Point yet, and they need to. They need to pick these up. Braden Point, you can't let him walk. He's still on the entry-level contract, and you've seen how good he is. Pick up his contract. Give him an extension.
Where are they going to get the cap space? It seems like... Are they going to trade Callahan?
They need to trade some. They need to trade off some assets that have big contracts. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I like Braden Point. Great player. Definitely.
Snub.
Snub of the All-Star game. Chris Letang should not have been in the All-Star game, but, you know.
It shouldn't be every player gets a – or every team gets a player. It should be the best of the best.
I was going to say Kyle Palmieri's a snub, but I forgot he was the All-Star for the Devils, and he was only in because of Hall.
And then Luke Fox says the Avalanche and Mikko Rantanen are going to wait until next season for contract talks.
I agree with that. Rantanen is probably only playing well because of his line mates, but Rantanen also was a high draft pick and also looks really good. You just got to wait it out. Just see how he plays. I mean, he's still a young guy. He's still got chance to fall, to be up, to be good. So... That's a good idea. And then Bob McKenzie says the asking price on Jake Muzzin would be astronomically high. Why? Is he even that good?
He's decent. I mean,
he's no Nate Schmidt.
He's a solid top four guy, and I honestly think the management over in LA has no clue what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they are just really, really dumb. Jake Muzzin is not a player you should have a high asking price for, I'll tell you that. I mean, crap, you got Taylor Hall for Adam Larson. You can't get Taylor Hall for Jake Muzzin. All right, and then we got, probably one of our favorite segments we've done on this show is Card of the Day. We get to talk about a player that you may or may not have heard about.
Sponsor us, please, Trading Card Database.
We want a sponsor. We will get one eventually. I don't know who it'll be, but we will get one eventually. All right, this card is the 86-87 New Jersey Devils Police Kirk Muller. This card was given away at a game or some sort of giveaway. My dad has a billion of these back at home. This is actually a set that I added the images for.
Why is it a police? Is it like a police?
The back of the card I didn't include has like little police. It's sponsored by the Bergen County Police. The back of the card says some little sayings on it like, it's like, don't know how to drive it or walk in a straight line. You'll have 6 months to practice at the New Jersey rehab facility.
Ah, fun.
So it says some stuff like that on the back of the cards. He was drafted second overall by the Devils in 1984, was the captain for the Devils for a little bit, had some really good tenures, played for the Devils, the Stars, the Panthers, the Canadians, the Islanders, and the Maple Leafs from 1984 to 2003. That is a long and solid career.
He won the 99 Cup with Dallas.
John's favorite Stanley Cup final.
Nope. But
lost it the next year.
We're not talking about that this year. He had 959 points, 357 goals, and 602 assists.
Was he the bread man of his time? It seems like it. That's a lot of assists.
Yeah, in 1,349 games. So he was actually coaching for a little while. He had an 80-80-27 record as the coach of Carolina for 3 years, 2011 to 2014.
Yeah, that's not too bad. 500, pretty much.
And he's now the, I didn't put this in there, but the associate head coach of Montreal.
Yeah, and he had 26 points in 42 career games internationally for Canada.
One Olympic in there and multiple world championships. So
yeah, a long and great. We've had some pretty good players.
We have. There's really been nobody unknown.
I mean, Mike Commodore, you could say, was pretty unknown, but people knew who Roger McDowell was, yeah. I think, and people know who. I mean, if you're a Devils fan, you obviously know who Kirk Muller is. If you're an NHL fan, you may know who Kirk Muller is.
Yeah, I knew who Kirk Muller was, and I'm not even a Devils fan.
Exactly. Sometimes I get him mixed up with Kirk Maltby, but that's because they have, like, the same last name.
Kirk Maltby.
Kirk Maltby, Kirk Muller. Yeah. You can never really tell. They were both in the playoffs a bunch, so.
Yeah.
And then, the NFL.
Rams and Patriots both arrive in Atlanta. Super Bowl is this Sunday, February 3rd. Kickoff's at 6:30, and I think we're both rooting for the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want about Brady. What he's doing with Belichick and stuff is just unreal. Yeah, it's a dynasty. Like, yeah, I hate Brady. So does everybody. I feel like Brady gets a lot of hate for what he's doing just because he's on the Patriots. But it's just the system that Belichick runs is just incredible. And this is just like their eighth Super Bowl together.
Ninth
Super Bowl together.
Which is for top all time by Brady.
Yeah, and Brady has no intention to retire after the season's over.
Please retire, Brady.
He said he's going to retire when he's 45. What is he, 42?
I think so.
We've got three more years of the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Yeah. So, Rams, let's go Rams. Jared Goff, please. Cooper Kupp, please rise from the dead and come out and have an incredible game in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And we'll close it out with one of the best songs ever. It's called Ram It. It was made in the 80s by the Rams NFL team.
That's like Get Mesmerized.
Yes. Here we go.
But we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA.